So did that song come over the computer? Did you hear it? Okay, all right, okay. So, when I do these classes, songs always come in my head because songs, music are such an important part of my life. And I've been listening to the song and now it's replaying in my head as I all the time. But I'm going to encourage each one of you to find a song that inspires you. That a song that when you're falling into that darkness, when you're going into that challenging place, a song that comforts you. That comforts you, that inspires you, that helps you make peace with it. And at the moment, the only ones that are in my front of my head are country songs. I know there's a bunch of others. I know it, but I'm going to ask you to think this week. See if you have a song. What is a song that brings you comfort? It's like Garth Brooks has that song about the dance. Do any of you know it? It's like he's talking about it's the end of a relationship. And if he had known how it was going to end, he should never have done it. It was just, but the beauty of the song is he's saying, but if I had not shown up and I wouldn't have had that, all the experiences I had along the way, I would have missed the whole dance. And yeah, it hurts now, but I would have missed all that other good stuff. And so I think if you can find some kind of a song, because sometimes when we're going down or at that room is starting, to know that there's a song that we can put on the whatever it is you listen to. I don't know these days, on your Alexa, on your iTunes, on Spotify. We get to use the things that work. And if you're the kind of person that music helps, a song helps, then find something to help you ride this, to ride this wave that we're of over the summer of this course. Does anybody have a song? When I said that, you went, "Oh, I've got one." Was that you, Marcia? Did I see a hand? No? Okay.
Karen, I was thinking, I think it's a Bette Midler song, "The Wind Beneath My Wings."
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, can I give you a little thing with that?
Uh-oh.
No, seriously. Turn it into you singing it to you.
Yeah.
Right? It's not you're the wind beneath my wings, but you, your awareness, you as an adult now, are the wind beneath the wings of the parts of you that you're bringing back together, of finding your wholeness. That's actually a great one, Louise. Yeah. All right. Julie, you got one?
I don't have a song, but I read a book once about an elite chess player. And what he would do is he did a very similar exercise as he had, like a happy place. And he would connect it to a song. And before any big tournament where he would, his cortisol would go up and he would get worried about, being in this tournament. And he was a world-class player. He would play the song and he said immediately he would just feel himself just calm down. So it's funny to hear like exactly the same tool, but in like an elite, athlete using the same technique. It's just interesting.
But doesn't it help in a way? It's like the tools are out there, but when you hear of somebody at that level using it successfully, it's almost like a validation, It's a validation that these things work. And anything you can do to help you regulate, which is what we're going to talk about today, is valid. Okay. And so what are we meaning by regulate? What we're meaning by regulate is to, let me back up. Regulate means when one side of our brain has gone off, it's probably this side, gone off into fear and the spiraling thoughts that just have you in their grip, right? And it's like that tarry stuff. You can't even, it's like they're just stuck and they're going around and around, and trying to extricate them feels like trying to take something out of something really sticky, and it's hard to release it. Regulate means coming back into what is actually happening right here, right now, in the present moment. Regulate means, let me bring myself back into balance. Now, might you still be feeling buzzy or feeling a little of the dark place? Yes, but it hasn't consumed you. You are back in the present moment, aware of what's around you and having that experience at the same time. I've often called it, it's like my body is having an event. My body is having an event. And that phrasing came to me, it was years ago, 3 or 4 years ago, and my computer literally crashed, died. And I was in the middle of all the classes and all this, and it literally just went black. And I took it into the Mac store, and they told me they probably could not even restore my hard drive. Now, you all know, one level or another, that feeling of it's icy cold, icy hot through your body, absolute, every part of my body vibrating in terror, absolute terror of my world imploding without this computer that ran not just my personal life, but my entire business was on this computer. Everything from my guru, my teachers, all of that, everything. And of course they said, did you back it up? And I said, I hadn't backed it up. And I've got some software people in here and I don't even want to admit it, but I hadn't backed it up. So I was in absolute terror. And this is actually the event where I learned how to do this. Then I learned how important it was and how it worked. My body was on fire. My body was panicking. My heart was racing. My thoughts were going to, you're fucked. Oh my God. Worst case, everywhere, everywhere, everywhere. But I could stay in the present moment. I felt my feet on the ground. I felt my hands on the counter. I looked at the guy, the face of the man giving me this news, and I was able to hold this awareness that my body was having a fear response. My body was having an event. And if I could let my body have the event, then my mind, and I could, all those other fear thoughts, right, that were triggering all that panic, I could keep them off to the side here. There was a little bubble of clarity in my head from which I could observe the thoughts and I could observe the event. So we regulate not to end the event. Regulate is step one, so that we can create a little bubble of clarity from which we can watch the thoughts and we can watch what is going on in our body. Did that make sense? Any questions on that? And so now we're going to do a little bit of neuroscience, and we got a few people here who probably know way more about this than I do. So Laura, if I say anything that's not, that I got it wrong, will you please jump in and correct us? Okay. Laura knows way more about the brain than I do. But so I'm going to, let me do this. So you have all heard that you have something called an amygdala, right? An amygdala is a part in your brain, it's deep in your brain, that is your, it's kind of like your primal survival. It's the oldest part of our brain. And that amygdala is connected to other pieces of the very, very, let's just call it the oldest part of our brain. So it's in the core of the brain. And this job of this part of the brain, actually the way they do it is they have it, it's like your thumb, okay? It's like your thumb. This part of my brain right here is responsible for keeping me alive. It is a very important job. Its job is to keep you alive and help you survive. Now, back when our brains were forming, that survival was literally physical survival. To not be eaten and be able to find what you needed to eat, right? To make sure that you were safe, to make sure that you could stay alive long enough to have more little of you, ones of you, so that the species could continue. Yeah. And then what happens is this part of our brain, it's wired to pay attention to the things that are a threat and to take them really seriously. It's like, we're not messing around here. If that is even remotely a threat, I'm never going to forget it. Because I need to know the next time I'm out somewhere and I just hear that one little, it means that, and I need to run. And there's no time to think about it. So it's a heightened responsiveness and attentiveness to the things that are threatening. Which is what I think many of you have already heard of this thing called negativity bias. Our brains are wired so that they are wired to pay attention to the bad stuff. Anything that can be perceived as a threat. Makes sense, right? Makes sense. So that this amygdala, and there's other parts of that go with it, is what we call, I believe this is called the limbic system, right? Laura, this whole center part, right? This oldest part of our brain. It is about survival. Well, we've evolved and we've evolved and we're living in a completely different kind of world, a different kind of community, and our brains have evolved. And our brains have evolved so that there are two sides of our brain. One side of our brain, is this the right side? Yeah, it's this side of the brain, the physical brain, is about logic, figure it out, let's get the data, let's, it's the logical, solve the problem. Maybe, don't say solve the problem. That's actually the fun part. It's the logical data receptor of the brain. Okay. And then there's the right side of the brain, which is a lot more, free form. It's more imaginative. It's more, creative. Is that enough? Does that give you, Laura, am I right on track? Okay. So logical, imagination. Let's kind of go there. Right. So what happens when we're having a fear response is that one side of these hemispheres of the brain has gone into overdrive. It's just gone into overdrive. And it's imagining all of the awful things that could happen, or it's reminding you of why this has happened before and this is what's going to happen again. Last time you did that, this is what happened. Oh my God, this could happen again. I need to protect myself. So you got your two sides of your brain. And when you're having any kind of an event in your body, it's because one side has taken off. It was triggered by the amygdala. Okay. Is this simple enough? Okay. So I'm going to show you. You got this little guy here. Because it's really important for us to remember there's two sides of our brain. So we've got one side, another side. And Laura, the white stuff is the limbic part, right? That white stuff in the middle?
It is. Okay.
And so we've got the limbic. This is the amygdala. It's tiny. Oh my God, you guys. Is it as small as I think it is, like a pea? It's this tiny little thing and it has the power to knock you off your feet because it goes survive, survive. And it sends messages throughout your brain all over the place and your whole body. The fear response, what it triggers is increased heart rate, increased breathing. It takes all of the energy that's going to non-essential functions in your body and brings them all into your heart, your breathing. It shuts down your stomach. It shuts down your bowels so that you can get away. So that you can get away. Right? And so when you're having an event in your body, that event that you're experiencing has been triggered by this little guy somewhere in there, a pea-sized guy, has triggered that entire thing. It's a fear response. It's a biological response. And the good news is it's a biological response, and you can address it by addressing the physical symptoms, right? Your breathing is fast. You slow down your breathing. Your heart rate is going boom, 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 boom. You calm yourself with your breath to help bring your heart rate down. You feel the body tightening and tensing like this. You soften your body. So you are this bubble of clarity that is watching the event happen. And you, with your thoughts up here, have the power to now. Remember we talked about last week, your thoughts are the hands on your desk that, you know, somebody came along and messed up your desk. It's crazy chaos. Your hand straightens the desk out. Your thoughts straighten that physiologic, that may not be the right word, the physical response that your body's experiencing. Does that make sense? Laura, anything you want to, am I going off track by being too simple?
No, you're right on.
Okay. All right. So what we want to do, and we're going to talk more about this over the weeks to come. We'll do a little bit of this each time. But for today, the main thought I wanted you to take from this is that you have two hemispheres of your brain that are responding to a little pea-sized thing in the oldest part of your brain whose job is to keep you alive. In our modern world, the threats to your survival are shame, abandonment, rejection, being left all by yourself, feeling like you're all alone and not connected. Those are the things that threaten us in today's world. Okay? So, what we want to learn how to do, first steps we want to learn is to regulate. And regulating, we want to practice it a little bit so that in the moment, it's not brand new. It's not brand new. So one of the techniques to regulate is to do a technique in a way that it activates one side of the brain and then switch and do a technique that activates the other side of the brain. And little by little, we kind of go back and forth. So we're bringing bringing it back till we can balance both hemispheres of the brain. Does that make sense? So how do we do this? We know this is what we already know. You already know that you're going to take deep breaths. And as you exhale, you're going to soften. Okay. This is what we call the parasympathetic nervous system. Parasympathetic nervous system is the part of us that can happen without us thinking about it, but it also, we can control it. There are parts of our body that we have absolutely no control over, right? It's called the sympathetic nervous system. It just does its thing. But the parasympathetic nervous system is what we can partially control. So we can take control back or we can give it. When you sleep, you don't pay any attention to your breath, right? But your breath keeps breathing you. But when you want to, you can control your breath. Now, what I've experienced and what I was taught, I don't know if this is actually true. We can ask some of you who might know for sure, is that when you exhale through the mouth, you are activating the part of the parasympathetic nervous system that says, relax. You know that sigh? What happens right now if you eat on your own right now? Just sigh, just kind of. Do you feel how the whole body softens? Did you feel that? Let's do it again. Now let's try with the note with the mouth closed. Try with the mouth closed and see if it's different for you. Did anybody, I notice a real difference, but I don't know if it's because I was indoctrinated that it does is a difference. But to me, it's like there is something very different when my mouth is, I'm exhaling through my mouth. Did anybody else notice that? Ramon? Chris, you did too? Am I seeing nods? Or Judy, you did sorta? So the teaching is, the training is that the more you practice this consciously, right? Inhale through the nose, exhale through the mouth, and then just consciously soften the body with that exhale, which those of you who take my classes know that, that we do that all the time, right? And now you know why we do it. We're doing it because it calms you, relaxes you, brings you into the present. But so now you know one way to regulate is to consciously breathe in. And as you exhale, exhale through the mouth, as if it was a sigh, and allow that to help you calm, right? We also know that part of the signs that our amygdala has taken off is that our breathing goes faster. In meditation, we say, where the breath goes, the mind goes. Where the mind goes, the breath goes. It's like they are intertwined. If you can learn to watch the patterns of your breathing, they will reveal to you the pattern of your mind, where your mind is. So it's the same thing. We consciously, three-part breath, three-part inhale, three-part exhale, or soften as you exhale. And what we are doing is we are calming the breath to calm the thoughts. Does that make sense? Yeah. So we've got a couple ways to regulate here. And what I'm trying to demonstrate is that it works on the physical body, what the medical community has done studies on and taught us, and what the meditators say, which is if you want to calm your thoughts, calm your breath. Okay. All right. So the other way to regulate is to bring yourself into the present moment. Because as we talked about last week, you cannot be anxious if you are in the present moment. And we are starting to cultivate an awareness that right now I am safe. Right here, right now, with these four walls that are whatever color they are, with these sounds I'm hearing, with I can feel my breath, right here, right now, in this present moment, I'm actually safe. So another way we regulate is to engage the senses, to use the senses to keep us present. And what I say again and again and again, and I didn't make it up, my teachers taught it to me. If you want to be present, be with the sensations in your body. They are always in the present moment. Be with the sounds around you. They are in the present moment. Be with your breath. All three of those, you can count on all three of those to be in the present moment. And your mind may be struggling, but you keep bringing it back to the present. Bring it back to your sensation in your body. Bring it back to sound, bring it back to breath. Okay, so we've got another way to regulate, to become present, using those three things. And my suggestion is, in the middle of doing something you always do, like even right now, just be aware of the feel of your hand. Those of you who have your hand on your face, what is that? Aware of the touch of your skin on skin. What does that feel like? Those of you who are holding an object in your hand to write with, what does that feel like? Just take a moment, any moment, and literally it takes that much to bring yourself back to the present moment using touch. And we train ourselves when we're not in the event, we train ourselves in developing that skill so that when we are in the event, we kind of know what we're doing. Our body has some memory of how to do it. Yeah? Okay. So we've got the breath to regulate. We've got being present in the moment to regulate. And one of the other techniques we have used, and I'm looking at the clock to see if I have time to tell this story. I think we have time to tell this story. Lisa, do you remember your first class with me? Do you remember what we did?
Yeah.
Would you be willing to share that? Because this is just like the, this works. So would you share it?
Well, yes. So for very first intro to meditation class, and
like 10 years ago. I mean, yeah, it was a long time ago. Yeah.
And, Karen invites us. I think the prompt was just to sort of go into a memory or connect with a feeling or emotion. And I was full on right into a panic attack. That's at the edge that I was at. There was no,
I'm going to interrupt you right here. I'm going to interrupt you right here. I wouldn't, in a beginning class, I would not have asked you to be in a memory or feeling. I would have asked you to just be in your seat, to just feel your feet on the floor and feel your seat on the bottom. But something came up.
Something came up.
Yes. So so that was all the prompt, and this is what happened. Yeah. Which is, yeah.
Yeah. And of course I'm having fear about the fear response, embarrassment. How could this be happening when I'm supposed to be learning how to begin to manage this stuff? And then, Karen immediately noticed it and, had us go around the circle, just naming, what something in the room around us. And we just kept circling around, right? So it was, I guess it was our sense of sight that we were engaging. And because I distinctly remember Rebecca's pink shoes. And then we, you know, a light or whatever. And we kept going around at least three or four times. Yeah. Nobody else probably knew why we were doing it.
No, you said something. They knew. I don't know. I assumed you'd said something. Maybe you hadn't.
I feel like, and again, because it was such a, I could remember it very differently than what it actually was.
No,
happening.
You know what? I think you're right. I think I noticed you were, and so I just changed the opening technique for everybody.
Yes.
To come into the present moment. And the key for this, and this is a regulating exercise. This is something to learn to do, which is you engage the sense of sight, but you engage this hemisphere of the brain. You engage the part of your brain that is noticing and labeling. So we would say adjective noun, what do I see? Yes. Beige carpet, blue chair, purple water bottle, black lamp, and you literally go around and you name everything you see. I know when I drive, that back when I was, when I would get panicked when I was driving, probably because I was going to be late and I was like stressing, right, and anxious about being late, and I would go blue car, green tree, white line, and I would just anchor myself in the present moment in the car to help me move out of that anxiety of being late for something, right? Training myself using this technique. It really works. Some of the rest of you, I think, have used this. Does anybody have anything to add or comment? Is it clear? I mean, it seems so simple, but it really works, right, Lisa?
It works. And I've used it with other people and it worked with them.
So this is a technique that if you have a family member who is having anxiety, you can do with them and you just go back and forth. You take turns. I see blue chair, black bag, da-da-dum, da-da-dum. And what's important is that if you don't even have to look for different objects, because that can become stressful, right? Now you're trying to do this thing and you're like, What do I see? And you're looking around this room and there's so much. So you can say the same thing again and again. That's why Lisa remembers pink shoes, pink shoes, pink shoes. The idea is to engage this part of the brain to give it something to anchor on. You give it a noun, but you put an adjective between the nine. Okay. Noun, adjective. Boom. We balance. Right? Are you with that? Okay. Any questions about that? Okay. Now you can do it with sound. I've done it in classes. We've done it with sound. And you can do it with the sensations in your body. But the idea is that you are labeling, you are engaging your brain to help you become present and break out of the thoughts that are causing all the anxiety. That makes sense? Okay. So the other thing, when we're regulating, and we're going to do on our practice session on Monday, we'll be doing more with this. But what we are learning to do is to, from this bubble of clarity, recognize the thoughts that are going on in the moment. We're not trying to discover the source of the fear. That's not at all what we're doing. Regulating is literally just about balancing. And to balance, it means we have to break out of the grip these thoughts have on us. And so I'm going to tell you a little story. It's a story I tell all the time. It's called the thorn tree story. Because sometimes this is how our thoughts are and how we are with our thoughts. So there's this little yogi and he's walking through the desert and he's just enjoying life, enjoying himself. And he suddenly hears the sound. It's going, ah, ow, ah, ah, ah. And he's hearing this. It says a person in real distress. Ah, ah. And he goes looking and he finds that there's this man who is attached to this thorn tree and he's gripping it. And the yogi says, do you want some help? Can I help you? And he says, please. Yes, yes. So the yogi very carefully pulls off each finger, each arm as kindly and gently as he can. And the other one pulls his torso and his legs that had been wrapped around this thorn tree. And he tends all the little wounds and they start walking away. The man is feeling better. They're walking away. Suddenly the man's like, why did he help me? Why was he helping me? What was that all about? You know, wait, no, he wants my thorn tree. He wants my thorn tree. He's just trying to get me away from my thorn tree. And so the man runs back, grabs the thorn tree and says, you can't have my thorn tree. It's my thorn tree. And this is what we do with our thoughts. They're a habit. We're comfortable with them. This is what we know. we don't know how to not, what it even feels like not to have them. And when we don't have them, it's really uncomfortable. It's like the little guy, he's walking away. He doesn't, this is new. Whoa, this feels uncomfortable. Wait, what's going on here? And all of a sudden this, you know, it back to the thorn tree. How often we do that, right? How many times are the thoughts you thinking the same thoughts you've already thought? I should say we. I don't mean to say you. We all do this, right? It's the same thought. It's the same thought. Ba-doom, 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 ba-doom. And so one of the things we can use to help us break free is to recognize, okay, wait, these thoughts are my thorn tree. I am holding on to them out of habit because this is what I know, but they're not serving me. They're hurting me. And I need to let them go. I need to let them go. And just that moment of recognizing that they are a habit, that they are not serving you, that takes us, that's what moves us into, like I said, it's not linear. That's what starts to prepare the ground for investigate, when it's time to investigate what is going on. So we're regulating by recognizing these are thoughts. We're regulating by recognizing these are patterns of thought. And that is preparing us to investigate a little later on when we're a little more when we've found our stability. Okay. And so what else do I want to say about this? Your thoughts are the source of your fear, the source of your anxiety. And you can change your thoughts. It's not easy. It takes vigilance. My guru Kriyananda, I don't know, I've got it here somewhere. He had us one of our, like I just told you to put on your mirror, what was the one I asked you to write and put on your mirror?
If you can taste the water.
Yeah, if you can taste the water. He had us write guard your mind. And I had little stickies in places where the rest of my family couldn't see it, but you know, I had one in my purse. I had one in my printer. Guard your mind, because it's the thoughts in your mind that are creating everything you're experiencing. Okay? They create our attitude, and our attitude is all we have. That's the one thing you have control over. The one thing, the only one thing you have control over is your attitude. You don't have control over other people. You don't have control over their feelings, their reactions. You don't have control over the weather. You don't have control over your day, which is anxiety producing right there, right? But we're going to learn how to move through that by recognizing that you have control of one thing. It's your attitude. Your attitude is tied to your thoughts. And so we are going to learn how to work with our thoughts and use what we know about thought to regulate our mind and eventually suck all the power out of the habitual thoughts, be able to see that, I mean, how many times has the thought you've thought never happened? Oh, I see smiles and laughs, right? Right? But because of this negativity bias, we still prepare for the worst case scenario in our minds, right? We're preparing because it happened before. We're going to make sure nothing like that can happen again. And what we don't do is when that thing we were all balled up about doesn't happen, we don't go, oh, it didn't happen. Look, it didn't happen. I spent 3 days worried about that happening and the person canceled on me and never showed up. The event never even happened, right? Are you with me? Are you following me? And we want to learn how to pay attention to all the times our thoughts don't materialize. They don't happen. So we can begin to see which thoughts are true, which thoughts aren't true. And most of our thoughts, I want you to discover it for yourself, but they're not true. They're not true. They're not true. And I can see some of you just like my daughter going, no, Mom, they're true. They're true. These are valid thoughts. These are important thoughts. How do I know the difference between an important valid thought? You will know the difference. You are going to learn the difference between a thought that you need to pay attention to because, you know, you are out of toilet paper and you do need to go to the store and get more. That's a thing. Yeah. That's a valuable thought. Oh my God, the heat wave is coming. There's going to be no toilet paper in the store. Oh my God, there's going to be a run and I'm going to be. Okay, whoa thought. I'm demonstrating here. Whoa thought, wait a minute. I have 2 Costco sized bales of toilet paper in my pantry. I'm going to be okay. Are you following me here? We're looking at the thought and we're learning how to pay attention to it, which is the big conundrum. When do I pay attention? When do I let go? We pay attention and we go, yes, we do need more toilet paper. I got to go to the store and get some. Write it down. It's taken care of. Oh my God. We're out of toilet paper. There's going to be run on it. There's going to be none at the store. Oh, that's not a true thought. That's not a thought I need to keep. But if that thought keeps coming back, we go, not true, not true, not true. So part of this bubble of clarity that we are finding by recognizing that our body is having an event, these are the thoughts that are coming along with the event. From this little bubble of clarity, we get to say, not true. Future thought. Future thought's a huge one to use, right? And we're going to talk more about this on Monday. And what we're trying to discern, is this a thought that is serving me? I need to buy toilet paper. Yes, we're out. Or not serving me. We need to buy toilet paper. You have 2 whole bales in the pantry. You're fine. Right? And we want to learn to discern so we can let go of the ones that aren't serving us, the ones that aren't true, and then not feed them anymore. And pay attention to the ones that need our attention, that matter. And then when we're not in those, we're going to come into the present moment. We're going to come into the present moment. We're going to come into the present moment and learn how to not be at the mercy of our thoughts. And then later on down the road, we'll talk about learning how to look into the thoughts. What are the thoughts that are the triggers, as Ramon said? What's underneath it, right? That's later. First, we got to regulate. First, we got to find that bubble of clarity in the head, right? And so on Monday, what I'm going to do is give you a couple techniques that will take us between the hemispheres of the brain. And we're going to learn something called a toggle. And yeah, so that's, and on Monday we'll do a few more exercises, a really fun one that I did with Natalie. So Monday we've got quite a bit going on. Before we close for today, this was a lot of information. Let me see if I can just distill it. Your anxiety or panic, anyone's anxiety or panic is a fear response to a thought. It can be a conscious thought or an unconscious thought, but it's a fear response that is meant to protect you and help you survive. That fear response in our amygdala that sends our whole body into panic was meant to help us get away quickly from a threat. We do not live in those kinds of threats today. The threats that are working on us are feelings of shame, rejection, loneliness, despair, isolation. Those are the threats that are triggering our fears much of the time. It's old stuff that we've buried that's being triggered because it wants to come back up and it wants you to pay attention to it. It wants you to show up for yourself so you can become whole. This is a sacred process. What you are doing here, this path out of anxiety, is sacred. It's sacred. You are becoming whole. First step is we need to learn to regulate the brain so that we can recognize that we are having a physical, biological event in our body, and we can use our thoughts to help us shift the patterns. First regulate, then notice the thoughts, choose the thoughts that we're going to work with, and eventually down the line, unearth what is coming up, listen to the messages that are coming, pay attention, and balance the inside. So eventually we're going to balance all the old memories, the old stuff we've buried. We're going to start Monday by learning how to regulate the two hemispheres of the brain. Okay? That was a lot of talking. I actually was going to had an exercise for you guys to do, but then I changed my plan to show you that whiteboard that Nat and I did, because I think this is actually a better approach. So I apologize. It was a lot more lecture than I normally like to do, but before we go, any questions? I know we're right up against time, but any questions on any of this? No? Okay. Then let's do this. I just lost you. Let me come back here. Let's say breathe, stay in the present, sensation, sound, and breath. And I will see you Monday and we'll start our exercises. Okay? All righty. Stay safe, everybody.
Thank you,
Namaste.
Sarah. Bye, everyone.
Bye, everybody.